Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
No prompting required.
He's just the silent lurker the whole time. You never have to say anything. He's just like, all right, here I am. What are we doing?
I know how a clock works.
Oh, that's a shout out to my boys, Kevin Madeline, Raging Gumby.
Again, to be fair, I always say this. You guys used to be.
Don't ever do that anymore. Don't say you guys. You can say Matt. Matty was always on time. Everybody else.
No, but the few times I guested and came through, you guys were ready to go right at six on the dot. I feel like I had to get my shit together.
Well, I'll just say this. Back in the day, it took me quite a while to train Kevy. It was not. it took a while to get him all organized, but I was the only focus, so there was only one person to worry about. So. It was easy for me to get him on track. Then when the show got big, we had like four people, five people. Oh, it was fucking out of control, man. But it was fun times. It was fun times.
Man, I know from like trying to set up like eight-person drafts that like organizing stuff can be fucking pain in the ass, man.
I'm not going to say anything about trying to record a Christmas cast. I'm just not going to say anything about that. Because, you know, that's just things other casts do. It's not going to talk about that. Anyways, gentlemen, it looks like we're on Hype Club. Is it? No, Hypecast? I don't know. Whatever the fuck this show is called.
Whatever you want to call it today.
Whatever it's called. Yeah, it doesn't even matter anymore. It doesn't matter. We're in a garage or in a basement. Or
is Mana Deprived even like a functioning website anymore?
Oh my god, that was a deep blow. That was a blow. I mean, we should invite KYT on.
It's not your website.
You just shot our sponsor like right through the heart. Like, that's what a way to open the show. Hey.
All I know is nothing got posted to the website like a week before our show did, and then nothing got posted to the website like for 2 weeks after, and I wasn't sure if that was just a holiday break situation or if this is where we're at.
I believe we're going to have to cut this out, because the whole point of the show is to shit talk KYT at the end of the episode when he's not listening.
Which reminds me, do you have a link if you want me to record my end on?
No, I'm going to try something new. This week I'm using MP3 Skype Recorder. Yes, that is the original one we used way back in the day. Shout out to anyone who records podcasts. Zencaster is a steeping pile of shit. Don't use it. It's garbage. I gave up trying to use that software because it was dropping, and oh my god, I'm not piecing together four calls. Oh, huge shout out to Marcel, though, for recording the Heavy Meta Christmas episode. That man is, he's gold.
He is social glue, to be fair.
I don't even know if he's glue. He is like Jesus. He's Jesus, who can cook a real... I don't even know. Like, I'm not a religious man. I'm just saying he is on that level of, like... I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make it work for you guys. And all you guys can just get drunk and not worry about shit. It was awesome. So, man, he saved the day again. So, huge shout out to him. But, Frankie, you are on Hype Club.
Yes.
This is awesome. It's been a while since we've chatted to my favorite friend.
more classic Matty voices are out today.
Oh, dude, don't even. I was gonna have a whole thing where me and Frankie just talked and people would have to guess who it was. But we're not doing that. We're a classy show. We don't do that shit here. Let's start the show off, though. Huge thing that I wanted to shout out Tristan on. So I think every year I try to get the cube out, but I don't think I had time last year to break it out. So I went in the closet, dusted off the cube. Oh, my God. Literally the hairs on my arms were standing up of, like, nostalgia when I pulled it out. I'm like, sliding it off. I'm like, oh, damn. This is sweet. But I set up a cube, and we did a cube evening with no one that played Magic but me. And it was actually one of the funnest things I've ever done. It reminded me very much of Portland. we had a bunch of my relatives and like cousins and everyone over for Christmas. So what I did is set the cube up, set a bunch of packs up. I think I had like 12 or 16 packs, right? And then I took all the land out of the cube and I put basic lands in a separate pile. And so what we were doing, because we weren't going to be able to fire a full cube. People were talking and drinking, but it was neat because people would just sit down and have a quick game. And so we were doing like super noob rules where, you know, if you want to land, draw from the land pile. If you don't, draw from your deck. And I couldn't believe how fast people picked up on that. Like, I didn't have to explain how shit worked. And these are people that like barely knew Magic. So I was actually really, really impressed with how quickly people understood that. A lot of people didn't understand some of the complex cube cards. I threw some EDH stuff in there. And I was explaining how those worked, but overall gameplay was really fast and fun. And you sit down and, you know, we played King of the Castle for a while, but all night people were like loving it. And it was just, it was awesome, man. It was good times. So it was good to get the cube back.
Yeah, well, like, I think that's kind of like one of the big part of like Magic being such a huge success for so many years is that it's kind of intuitive, you know, like you pick up the card, read what's on it, and like you don't need like everything kind of like works as you'd expect it to work, you know. And
there's a lot of complexity, dude. I'll just say this: like we've played Magic so long now that like to us it looks like that, but these were people that are like, "What is this? Oh, it is a human. Oh, what does a human do?" And I'm like, "Read the card." But it's hard to understand. Like, there was a bit of explaining what things did. It's just the biggest thing that I've noticed is when I try to teach people to play Magic, like with dual decks or commander decks or even cube packs, whatever, when they have to build a deck, that's confusing. And I also find, like, I guess because people play Hearthstone now, that the whole, what is it, like, whatever they use, their mana crystals, I don't know what the fuck they use. But, like, you get one automatically every turn, and there's no issue about mana. So I found, like, doing it this way, people were, like, kind of playing it like Hearthstone. And I was like, wow, this is really fast and easy, and no one got mana screwed. So it was just a very interesting thing. It opened my eyes to what I think Magic needs to be more of, maybe fun and easier to play. I don't know. I think there needs like, to be complex versions, too. But
you can play it however you want, Maddie. Yeah. That's the beauty of this game, man.
Yeah, that's true. Even if it dies, it'll live on forever. But yeah, it was fun.
You know, like I'm like these days I've been playing 93-94, which is kind of like the game as it was initially designed. And like there's so much depth to just like using this like small pool of cards. Oh man, it's like it goes back to like Sarah Angel being like the big daddy on the block and Shivan Dragons and all those guys.
Fireballs. Oh yeah, me, Grumpy, and Bruce had a whole 93-94. Well, we were playing crazy. We were just having every version of every format deck and blasting away at each other. It was really awesome. But we played 93-94, and it was very nostalgic, very fun. I have yet, though. That brings up a good point. I wonder if I should actually try to put together a couple of 93-94 decks. Like, just with cheap cards. I wouldn't, you know, maybe I'll get Proxy to help me out. But, like, build a couple of original decks that are super dirt cheap and just see if the original game is more intuitive than what it is now. I wonder. Like, with a brand new person.
When Magic was way back in that day, there were two types of cards. Those that were easy to understand and those that were incredibly difficult to understand. Trust me, I was a 10-year-old during those days, and it was like, Sarah Angel, we get that. You know, like, Season of the Witch? Wait, what does that do? What are you talking about?
I would remember how we'd play is if the card you could, like, understand it in 2 seconds, it's in our deck. If a card had a wall of text on it, it's just in the bin pile. We're just like, yeah, we're not reading that. Like, what was it? Was it Ice Cauldron, I think, was one of those big cards? And Jester's Cap?
God. Ice Cauldron kind of gets the mantle for that all the time, where it's... no one knows what that card actually does.
No, and the joke was, I think, we would all look at it, because we all shared this communal pile of cards that, like, we'd all browse through and build different decks and play, and I remember, like, that card would always, someone would be like, I'm gonna play with this card, and we're like, what does it do again? And they would be reading Inquest or Scry or something to figure out, like, what does it do? There were just no resources. Like, you know, it's just funny. Now you can just pull up YouTube and everything is explained for you.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a 5-minute video explaining every card you've ever thought of at this point.
Actually, that wouldn't be a bad channel. Just like 5-minute videos of every card. Anyways, how was your holidays, guys? What did we end up doing?
I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, TSG, take the floor.
It was the first year that my wife and I spent exclusively in LA. We didn't travel to see any family. Not that I don't have family in the greater Los Angeles area, so we did go to visit them. But before that happened, you know, I was ramping up. I was like, oh man, I'm going to take full advantage of the fact that, you know, here's the thing about Los Angeles during the holidays. It's great because all of the unemployed, shitty employed actors go home for 6 weeks. Because they're not actually from here and they don't have any jobs anyway. And then the industry shuts down around Thanksgiving anyway. So once December hits, the roads are all empty. Like it's a magical wonderland and you want to take advantage of it. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the West Side on Christmas Eve. I'm going to stop in the Jewish district and get myself a sandwich. That stuff's still going to be operating. It's going to be great. And then I was sick all Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So I didn't get to do any of that. Instead, I was bedridden on Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day, because we had to meet up with family and not just, you know, sit in our little cave while I was sick. We went over to my uncle's house, and my uncle used to be kind of the hub for my mom's side's family during the holidays. That moniker has shifted. He still has a fairly large house and a fairly large family, but it's more inhabited by his wife, Maria, who I love and is over the top Italian. So she makes enough food to feel 100 people. Yeah.
I got the Italian wife and Italian mother-in-law. And let me tell you, man, there's every year I say the same thing. I'm like, there's only 12 people coming. How much food are you making? Well, we have 16 trays of food. I'm like, that's too much. And they're like, no, it isn't. No, but the argument, I get into arguments where it's like, there's 12 people, you have 16, like, aluminum foil trays. I'm like, if each person got a tray, it's still too much food. And this is 20 pounds of food. And they're just like, this is what
I love do. Italians during the holidays because they kind of make it like you may never eat again.
No.
So let's just celebrate awesome. that you get to eat today. You know, my uncle's retired and their house is to the point now where it's like Maria has, you know, a commercial grade, you know, 6-burner one part of the kitchen. She's got the dual ovens and she has a full butler's nook and all this kind of stuff. So when food was finally served, you know, there's a plate of lasagna that's bigger than my desk here. And then, you know, you're getting a piece of this. You go around the corner to the butler's nook, and that's where you find, like, your vegetables and your salads and whatnot. And then there's just a giant tray of meatballs next to the greens, which is, I feel like, the most Italian thing I'd ever seen. And she just says it off like, oh, yeah, no, you know, grab some salads, grab some green beans, whatever. And here are the meatballs, which you can't have a meal, apparently, without everyone having 3 meatballs. So that was an interesting experience. I'd actually never done that because back when I was a kid and we went to visit my uncle, it was much more inhabited by the Irish part of my family, which they would replace all of the things I mentioned with just booze.
With just alcohol.
Yeah.
And chips. Well,
when I think, chips is a bit much. I
mean, really? Oh, peanuts. Sorry, it's peanuts. Yeah, peanuts, pretzels, and booze.
I mean, when I was really young, I would say Christmas in the 80s was mostly Coors, whiskey, and cigarettes and cards. That was the holidays for all of my family. Wow. Now, as a cautionary tale, I used to have 6 uncles. I'm down to 3, mostly because of that. So there you go. Things have changed. We'll stick with meatballs for now until someone kicks it because of those.
All right. What about you, Frankie?
My holidays were pretty quiet on my end, like family stuff a little bit, and went to see Star Wars, and that's pretty much it.
Those are trigger words.
Are we turning? No, we can't turn this episode into a Star Wars episode.
I mean, you could do whatever. Well, because it wouldn't be. Show, but let's talk about the holidays first.
Sure.
Yeah, like if we talk about Star Wars, they won't be we won't be talking hype anymore.
No,
we'll
we
be
need talking- also I've been requested. I've been requested by at least two people. If I am talking about Star Wars, I must have Proxy Guy, cuz no Star Wars conversation can take place unless Josh is here, cuz he has a very hard opinion of what he believes, and apparently it would be a counterpoint to some of the things that me and TSG believe. That are maybe
is that how that conversation went down the other day? I was, you guys were very animated about it on social media, so I was like, they're either stroking each other off, feeling the exact same opinion, or there are some divergent paths here.
You know what it is? It's okay. So I took the kids to see
Star
Wars
quickly, and then I do want to get back to how Frankie apologized.
Real quick, I'm just going to say this. So I took my kids and the wife to see Star Wars, right? Because I let the hype die down so that you can actually go and enjoy the film when I take them. So this is my second viewing of the film. So I took them there, excited to go. We saw it. You know what? I'm gonna just throw a few spoilers because who cares? You know what? If you haven't seen the fucking movie, come on, man. But here's the thing: the opening scene in the film, when they play some phone gag, and my wife looks at me and my kids look at me. I didn't shit talk this film. I'm completely neutral because I want them to enjoy it on their own. They look at me and they're like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, yeah, this is what you have to expect. And my daughter, she's like, that's they don't have phones in Star Wars, do they? And I'm like, I don't know, honey. Just keep watching. And then Luke on the island milks. No, Luke walks down and sexually gets a walrus creature to shoot green jizz into a jar. Then he drinks it and slurps it and says, ah. At that point, my daughter's had a look on her face like she's just like, what the fuck
this
is going on?
This great hero, eh?
Yeah, no, dude, I at that point, even my wife looked over and she's mouthing like, what the fuck is this? Is this safe for the kids to watch? I'm like, hun, you asked me to not ruin anything? I'm like, we paid, we're staying, you enjoy the film. So I don't want to say anything else in the film. I feel that the film has some challenges that it needs to should have overcome. I say the throne room scene with Rey and Kylo is very good.
Teasing eventually there should be an episode devoted to this.
There probably will be a hype Rebel Scum cast or something. I don't know, or tit milking, walrus milking shit. I don't know. It was just
considering how much we talk about magic these days already. It's not ridiculous to say we'll just do a Last Jedi show where everyone vents their feelings about it and puts them on the table. Because I'm right there with you.
I have no
you.
Problem with that.
There are things that happen in that movie, and there are things that don't happen.
I'll say this: on the first viewing, it was how do I put this? I watched the original trilogies growing up, and I guess when I watched them the most was on cable, you know, with commercials. That's where you watch it hundreds of times. So that's like the universe that I understood. And then, you know, my first job, I saved up money and I bought a Laserdisc player. I don't know why. The first thing I bought, I had to pre-order, was the special edition. It cost me $500 Canadian Laserdisc Star Wars. Apparently it's the best edition ever.
Tell me you still have it.
I gave it to my brother, so I hope he has it somewhere, because it was just a beautiful box.
Hope he didn't sell it for shitty hockey tickets. Come on now, hold on to that.
He probably, I don't know. We don't have the Laserdisc player. Anyways, look, the point is, I remember watching those films on that Laserdisc, and it was phenomenal. Like everything about that experience is my bar, right? And I remember when the prequels came out, and we went to see it. And me and my cousin sat in a theater. We were the only people. We went at 6 a.m. in the morning, opening day. No one was in it. We saw the film by ourselves, and it was an experience. In my opinion, if Darth Maul wasn't in the film, I don't think any Star Wars films would have been made after it. But whatever. The prequels, though, continuing shot that down. Now you get to this film, and I must say, the prequels, you just say, ugh, man, they totally fucked this up. Last Jedi puts a dagger through your heart. So there are things in this movie that I feel personally have attacked my youth. Like, it's not just it's bad. It's unbelievably wrong.
Yeah, you're staying on the surface here, but you gotta remember, for the prequels, it didn't violate what you grew up with as much.
Well, it did to some extent later.
Yes, but Yes, midichlorians aside.
Yeah. Oh yeah, midichlorians. That was bad.
They didn't take the characters that you loved and then just twisted them. Yeah. And to me, the deeper issue, and something that I'll elaborate on another time when we're not trying to talk about Frankie's Christmas, is philosophy of religion, philosophy of life, deeper stuff that really made a film like Empire Strikes Back so perfect. Yeah. And then you just had to go and literally take a dump on Ivan Kershner's face. But yeah, I would love to extrapolate upon that later.
We will.
But yeah, you know, the prequels, as much as people can hate on them, and they should, they didn't go and kind of molest the films of your youth. It's like that South Park episode where they're making fun of Steven Spielberg for changing E.T. and they think he's going to go back and change Indiana Jones and make it different again and rape their childhoods. It felt very much like that.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is this, and I'm not 100% like... Because there's a lot of people that are just like very, very want to hate it and throttle the film. I'm just torn. I'm literally ripped in half because I believe that there is a movie in there that is probably the best Star Wars movie ever. It's just they decided there are plot points and story points in there that are could have been phenomenally done well. And it's a great, I don't want to give too much away, but there is a lot in there that could have worked. It's just we watched a movie. The director chose to film parts. Like, I would say, 70% of the film is stuff I don't care about and I don't want to watch. So there's a story in there that is very, very awesome, and I want to know more about it. And I just think they did it really bad. And honestly, I think Rian Johnson doesn't understand how space works. Like, I think he just literally doesn't understand.
There's that issue as well. I think that if this had been the first ever Star Wars movie...
Yeah,
it probably would have been pretty good. It probably would be pretty good. And people would have the questions they would want to have to learn more about the universe instead of the preconceived notions they already have because there's 40 years of this stuff. And you know, in terms of Hollywood things, it is a great debate that this wasn't the conglomerate film. You know, as much as The Force Awakens was a conglomerate film and then they handed it off to a very capable person, this was apparently written to direct by a sole person and that person took liberties, all that kind of stuff. And this is things we should explore later. Please, Frankie, get back to telling us about your holiday that doesn't involve Star Wars.
I have to throw in my little bit
on Star Wars, you know.
Throw me your takes, Frankie.
Like, basically, my feeling was that, there's only one scene that truly shocked me, and it was the Flying Princess. The Flying Princess was, like...
Really?
For me, it was...
All right.
That was Luke milking a fucking
space walrus.
That was the one that was the most stupidly...
That was Seth Rogen.
It just made no sense whatsoever. It's like, what you're kind of like trying to do is like have the princess like almost die, but not die. And like the way they staged that, like it just made no fucking sense. You know, I can get that like, oh, it's a close call, but she doesn't die. But there's like a million ways you can have done this that would have made more sense than this. And it's like any other way, like it's like, she could have been swallowed by like an alien monkey and somehow survived. This was like the one way that like it absolutely made no sense. But like if you disregard that, like I think like it was a watchable movie, and like the thing is like people like there's a lot of attachment.
Is it a watchable movie?
Like people see themselves as Star Wars fans and it's part of their identity, but like now they're become like Disney's little pet, you know? So it's like when you realize that, like it's a shocking revelation to yourself. Like I'm a Star Wars fan, but like I like Jar Jar Binks and the little porgs and
I didn't mind the porgs.
It's a tough realization.
Here's one thing
if your entire like identity is based on Star Wars, you're gonna be like, I don't want to be that, you know.
the one thing that a couple of people brought up to me, which was really interesting, and Magic suffers from this exact same thing, which is, we're dealing with properties that we grew up with as kids, and now we're adults. So we're looking back on our childhood through the lenses of a rose-colored glass, but with the intelligence of an adult now. So our expectations is, thrill me like I was when I was a child, but do it intelligently because I'm an adult now. And I, you know, as a kid, logic leaps, you don't notice. Now you do. And I feel like they direct movies and they just forget that the audience isn't 10-year-olds anymore. That's just not reality. And when you make a movie that's targeted just to 10-year-olds, it fails because the 10-year-olds don't really care about movies. So it's just very fascinating that you have this divergent audience that, yeah, it's going to be very difficult to please everyone. But what you could have done, and this is the one thing that I think most people agree, is you should have started these new movies with none of the old cast. Just start a brand new, we're not going to talk about Leia, Luke, Han, all those original guys, because bringing them in just infuriates everyone because they don't want their characters ruined. They should have started it all new. I don't have a problem with Rey as a character. I think Kylo Ren is interesting if you use him correctly. I think that would have been a nice thing to just start new. And then I believe the films would have been much more accepted by all people because you wouldn't be judging them on what you felt was the old movie standard.
I think like they're kind of like they're trying to please everyone, yeah, and what they end up doing is like pleasing no one, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Normally,
but like when... they're good. They're watchable movies, you know. They're not like,
I don't know, man.
You're not bored, but like when you kind of like analyze it after it's over, you're kind of like, meh.
Well, the funniest thing about this whole thing was, during the Christmas break, my kids had wanted to watch, you know, because we've gone through the 80s movies, so we do this thing where we keep watching. We've gotten through most of the 80s movies that I think they can watch, you know, because they're only 12 and 10. But my oldest daughter is like, I want to watch Weird Science. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't remember how bad that movie is. Like, is there bad shit in there?
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, isn't it? Well, no, I didn't know if there was inappropriate stuff in there or whatever. So I was like, okay, you know what, whatever. So we watched that movie two nights before we saw Star Wars. So in their minds was Chet, like, as the big stinking thing. And then when Luke goes to milk the thing, it's like, in their minds, like, ugh. Like, they're still traumatized by that. Like, they still ask, like, that's what, that movie left them with that scene. Like, so I find that hilarious. That, you know, certain movies, when we go back, when we remember as children, there's a couple of scenes that just like, ugh, that just still sticks with me. And that's the scene that Star Wars left them with. I think that's not right. Like, the movie's a failure on that part. But
like, I remember seeing like old Conan movies when I was young, you know.
And, oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Some of those fucking scenes are pretty are pretty scary, man.
My daughters keep asking.
Hopefully, I turned out fine, you know.
Well, we are 80s children. I think we're all warped. I think that's why no one can please us. But my kids always hear me listen to the Conan soundtrack, or I show them like, you know, clips of like the sword fighting. They love that. And they're like, we gotta watch that. I'm like, you cannot watch Conan the Barbarian. There's cannibals in there. There's a sex dungeon. Like, no. That is, you must be an old woman when you girls want to watch those films. Oh, but anyways, let's move on to more magic stuff, Frankie. Finish up your holidays for us.
I don't know how deep I should dive into my family's stuff. But
Tell me all about your family. Just relax. You're paying by the hour.
I have two sisters. Okay.
All right.
This year was like kind of like this New Year celebration has been like one of the best in recent memory. My mom was sick for a couple of years, but now she's doing better. One of my sisters got a new boyfriend, so she's like, she's on a high right now, and the guy's a decent guy, so everybody's happy to have a new person in the house. My other sister started a new job like a couple months back now, and like she's doing super well. Her son had a baby, so there was like a new baby in the house too.
Oh, nice.
My girlfriend's been looking for a job for like a long time. And she's starting like on Monday, this new job that she found just before Christmas. So it's like everybody's doing as good as they've done, you know, for like for the past like at least 2-3 years, you know. So it's like it's been a good time, you know, like just getting together and like having everybody be like in a good place, you know. Like that's been awesome, you know.
Cool.
So like that was like there was like no there's been years where there's been drama, you know, like insane drama where my dad's screaming at my sister that like he's ashamed of like her wearing his name and like things like that, you know, like. So like if when everybody's getting along, everybody's nice. In a good place, you know, it's like, yeah, man, like this is awesome.
Yeah, I remember that. We had a couple of like way back in the day, man. Oh, there was some. I think was it Thanksgiving? I think it was Thanksgiving when we had a bunch of cousins and they were insulting my mom or something. They were like being really rude, and I flipped Thanksgiving. I flipped the Thanksgiving table. So that was great.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, but it was bad. They were like really shitting on my mom for like 2-3 hours, and they were making her cry. And then I'm like, that's it. And I just flipped the table. Oh, it was great. Man. It was great.
Holiday fights, man. That's like that's kind of like the worst.
Yeah. It's been good for so many years, like 20 years now, ever since like we, you know, moved out, get our own house. Now everything's great. But oh, man. Yeah, I remember those stories. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about magic here, man, because the one thing I wanted to touch on, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but it was really weird that we had almost felt like 3 weeks of holidays for some reason. It felt like a really long time where, you know, the magic guys were off and everything, but I was like, man, why on earth didn't they kind of like put some spoilers in there? Because everyone is off, everyone wanted content to talk about, and it would have been, to me, it would have been a great time to put some spoilers and... You know, I get everyone's off and doesn't want to work, but could you not have, like, I don't know, automatically released them or something on the website, or maybe just, like, send out spoilers to the community? I just felt like that was such a waste, because there was a lot of people that wanted to talk then, and then now what are we getting? 1 week of insane Rivals spoilers that I can't even keep up with, and I'm like, oh, man, what do you guys think about that?
I think it was fine. I think they gave, like, didn't they give, like, a few on Christmas Day, and then...
Yeah, there was a few.
It's kind of, like, started big this week, and, like, I don't know, like, to me, it was fine.
All right.
It's just different for people that are used to, like, 3 weeks of dragging spoilers out effectively do it in 1 week, if you really think about it. It's like,
It's a lot, though. A whole set is a lot to absorb in a week. I feel like it was 20 or 30 spoilers a day, and I would catch one or two, and then I'm like, oh, shit, it's the morning, and there's other stuff I can't pay attention to now. I was like, I don't know, I felt it was a lot, but whatever. I mean...
But, like, I think they kind of, like, should start, like, a little... Like, they should give us, like, a slow drip, you know?
Yeah, especially exactly. When
it's so 1 week.
And
is,
then when
is
it gets
weird.
The spoiler, like, when it gets to, like, the official spoiler week, then they can, like, kind of, like, speed it up as they did. I could have taken, like, a little bit more here and there, you know, in between.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things I noticed, because I'm like, especially with the content people, forcing them to, especially some of the YouTube guys, like, to make... 3 or 4 videos in a day. I mean, I guess it's fun for them. I don't know, but they look stressed out. They're freaking out that they got to try to keep up with everything. But anyways, what do we think of Rivals? Because I got to be honest, I guess I came off Christmas Cube and with like super casual people that really got like my casual part of me like excited again about Magic. And I started to like look through a bunch of the box I had for like older, like really weird, I guess more EDH staple stuff, just fun stuff versus like competitive modern kind of cards. And those were so much fun to play with. I was like, oh man. So now in my brain has all been rewired. So I've been looking at Ixalan or Rivals and I'm just like, oh my God, that dragon's crazy. I want to play in Cube so bad. Or was it a dragon? It's a dinosaur. The Elder
Yeah,
dinosaur.
The big Naya dinosaur.
Yeah, 9/9 mana or something.
That guy looks cool. I mean.
Good reanimation target, I think.
Just a fun card.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blowout, though. Like, you reanimate that thing, and then you untap, and...
You don't untap your lands if you didn't cast it from your hand, though, yeah.
Gotcha. And we could ramp out of that.
Keep that in mind.
Grim Monolith will get me there.
Yeah, I was following the spoilers this week, seeing what was coming out, and I was having a good feeling, you know, like... I like what they've done with this set, and it's like it kind of like makes me feel like the gap between the two sets was probably a little bit too big, you know?
Yeah. Because
like
it was
it seems like Ixalan like came out like
6 months ago.
Yes,
it does, like, doesn't it?
It feels like 6 months, and it's like me. The thing is, like, I like standard when there's more sets in it, you know.
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of like the smallest standard that we've had in a while, and it showed that it was lacking depth. You know, like people are kind of like they want to do like they're tired of doing the energy thing, and like they want to do new stuff. And like what I find interesting about the arrivals is that like there's a lot of like I've seen good low drop creatures.
The power level on rivals feels very much increased.
The power level feels good, and the power level like at uncommon.
Oh yeah,
it's like I've seen a lot of good uncommons. Like builder rounds that are interesting, like
tribal lord series is great.
Two mana lords, like that's like I think that's the stuff that like make people excited about
it. Does
Magic.
It does.
They want to have those playable guys. There's they made like a cycle of I don't know if they're all called the same, but like they're four mana guys.
Yeah, that give the Forerunners, like, right?
The Forerunners, yeah. These guys are like these guys look good.
Very
it's
good.
Like
very tribal. I love that.
Yeah, stuff. Like the tribal payoffs look interesting. It looked like we might have something that can compete with the previous sets.
I mean, I think like honestly, Rivals looks like they kind of heard a lot of people saying that you know power level needs to come up to be exciting, right? Because if your sets aren't power level wise exciting to see cards that could bleed to modern, you get bored because you're like, man, standard only draft trash, like whatever. So this set especially feels like there's a ton of cards in here that may make modern or increase some tribal synergies.
Come on. Like what? Like
merfolk? The merfolk two mana lord is 100% going to change merfolk. In fact, from what I'm seeing is there's going to be a jungle merfolk, or what do they call tropical merfolk, and then standard blue. Definitely there's going to be that, for sure, right? Vampires looks like there's a lot of very interesting things that could take vampires from tier 4 to maybe tier 2.5, right? Dude, there's a lot of...
None of those things matter.
Shut the fuck up. Look, I'm just saying there's a lot of fun stuff out there. Hey, by the way, Mono Green Devotion is 10-0 on SCG. Just the modern. Just throwing it out there, guys. There's a lot of strategies in modern right now that I feel that are getting better and better, and they just need those breakout things. Modern is going to be like Legacy in the next couple years. It's just going to be one of those formats. You pick up a deck. It doesn't... Grixis Death Shadow may be good, but there's going to be decks that can beat it on any given day, and I think that's great for the format. I'd rather there be 200, you know, tier 2.5 decks, because at any one time, one of those decks can just jump up that last notch with a card or two here or there. So I love it, man. I think this set is great. I think there's so many of those flip cards that are like very hard to evaluate that look like they may not get there, but I don't know. The power payoffs when they flip are nuts. So I'm really excited. Actually, this set's got a ton of stuff. And then Blood Sun. Let's talk about Blood Sun, because that card, a lot of people are writing that off saying it's not Blood Moon. Yes, I agree, it's not. But it's totally...
It doesn't stop Tron, which doesn't seem like it's very good.
I don't know. To me, I think Tron would run it, because it shuts off all the land destruction against you, but it also allows you to play some other funky stuff
That is not a bad argument. That is not a bad argument.
I just feel like Blood Sun is one of those cards that it's three mana. So three mana cards like Solemnity and other cards like that they look powerful, except turn three is... just about you're dead. So your cards got to make
sure. All these new big merfolk running around, you sir, make it sound like the people are going to be. I don't know. On the plus side, you've hedged your bets, right? Like either these new merfolk cards are going to be good in modern, and people are going to be attacking and blowing shit up, or the format will be slow enough that this Blood Sun will actually have some impact.
Blood Sun, look, here's the thing with Blood Sun and why I don't think Blood Sun is right in every deck, Okay, it's not one of those.
It shouldn't be right in every deck. They don't make cards like that anymore.
No. Yeah, well, yeah, I agree. And so here's the argument that I've heard. Blood Sun is here because Blood Moon's going to get banned. So that makes sense.
That's giving you a
kind of hate card. The problem with that is then Tron just gets unstoppable and fuck. Like, because Blood Sun actually works better in a Tron deck than it does in anything else, and it lets them do everything they want, and it punishes everybody. I'm not sure. There's also some really crazy fringe brewers talking about Karoo lands in Blood Sun, or there's some crazy lands like back in the day that are just like huge negatives when they come into play. But, you know, what about even just the Tri-Lands? The Tri-Land series. Imagine just playing with Tri-Lands. All right, boom. Now I get
Wait, does this stop enter the battlefield tap? No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
It stops everything like, but the mana ability.
It makes the bounce land insane too, yeah. Though. So it's like it might be.
It could be broken.
I don't know if it could like make Amulet like
it will.
I think 100%. Even more.
I think there's definitely a strategy where you can use Simeon Spirit Guide. If you get this out on turn two, maybe I don't know how you get it on turn one. Maybe you write a flame or write a flame's ban. There's got to be ways to get that card out faster. And think about it. The other thing, too, is you've got Storm. Storm and Blood Sun kind of work together, especially the no-fetchless version of, or the fetchless version of Storm. I don't know. I think that card is, like, one of those cards that looks like it could do some pretty serious damage.
Like, to me, that card, to me, like, it's a clear hit, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people, like, it's like... you know, this new set's coming out. Well, there's a side, like, this is kind of like, this seems like a great sideboard card for some decks. It's
going to be a main deck
like,
engine, too. That's what I like about it. There's ways to break that card, and I don't know.
Yeah, like, it throws, like, it's an interesting clog to have, like, in the mix, you know?
Yeah.
So it's great to see that.
Easily the most exciting card out of this set.
Is it though? That's the thing. There's so many good cards
for tournament Magic. I have
sure,
to be the
okay.
Most exciting card.
Now, the one card though, I will say this because I have been watching the SCG Modern event, and my two favorite podcasters or casters, whatever hosts, Seti and Patrick Sullivan are just—they're the bomb. I don't know why the hell Patrick Sullivan is not working for Magic, and I get it. They can't afford him. Whatever. They should pay him. But he went on a rant about Chupacabra, which in a tribal set you just made the best creature just a nothing, which is hilarious, and it's one of those insights that like you hear that and you're like, exactly, why the hell did they do that? Why wouldn't you have given it to a tribe? Give it to vampires, and then there's a real incentive to build around vampires. Maybe it's just too powerful and they wanted it to be neutral so that any deck could run it. I don't know.
I look at this entire spoiler, and you know, as the years add on, I only get more curmudgeon-y.
Of course,
but it's like this set looks so geared towards limited, and not at all towards constructed.
Really,
and I understand why you wouldn't want to have that a card like that in limited be bound to a tribe. That would not be healthy for limited, because you'd get all the bonuses as well as the best bonus possible. I mean, this is something they've been doing for years, where it's like the flat out best creature usually doesn't tie into the surrounding tribes. Because then you're gonna get rewarded for tribal synergies as opposed to, you know, anything else that's going on.
I would argue that that's not true, because think about this.
Hey man, it's still a beast, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like
it's not a bad card.
No,
that's your card type, Maddie.
Yeah,
modern beast.
Yeah, but it's not a 3/3. But here's the thing. If you made it a vampire, right? So in limited, okay, if I'm vampires, I get an extra bonus because it's a vampire. But if I'm dinosaurs, what's the difference between if I draft that or I draft it as a regular chupacabra? Nothing. So I disagree there, and I think that you could.
I don't know if there are black dinosaurs in limited. I didn't think there were.
Well, whatever. You know what I mean. The point is, you're saying it can go in any deck, and I'm saying no, it can't. There's its color synergy is where it's going to be drafted, not its creature type. So to make it a tribal synergy as well is just good for then standard. It's good for the other formats that want to build. Like, I can't remember. I never played limited or standard Alara block, but I got back after Zendikar. So like, but I went back and dug through that thing, and it just looked casually like the most insane oh man, building a shard, it was just fun. Like, I don't know. I think tribes are really a really huge thing with the casual market. So I don't know.
No, they are, and that's the dichotomy of these sets, is that they're great for casual buyers, like people that want to build tribe decks. And I'm not knocking that. I used to be that kid. I would build a soldier's deck after Fallen Empires came out. You build everything because you have all the shit commons. You got to do something. And it was fun because it was like, oh, well, I'll build the best, you know, white tiny creature deck that has synergies possible. At the same time, it really homogenizes limited, and it makes it like, oh, you're drafting this tribe. Okay, well, all of a sudden you just look for the creatures of that type. I mean, yeah, there are some play within those, but I've never really been into a limited format that was super tribe centric. You can have tribes as a sub theme of a better limited format, but I don't know. Most people hate on Ixalan for other reasons. It's just annoying that it's just another tribe set to me, and this seems like another extension of that. Limited looks kind of boring on the outset. I mean, I'm obviously going to delve into it and see, but I'm not impressed by the set by any means. It looks like it has a few obviously tournament-pushed cards, and other than that, there's nothing exciting. And who knows? Standard could be so slow and shitty nowadays that this is good for Standard. I know nothing about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Frankie is the Standard expert on the show right now. I don't know shit about it, except that everyone is playing Energy. What do you think, Frankie? Is there anything in here that's going to swap up Standard?
Mix it up? Like, I'm not, like, I think, like, there's going to be, like, more, like, because, like, the thing that happened with Ixalan is that there wasn't the critical mass that was was needed to kind of, like, do anything with it in Constructed. So, like, now, and I think now we're kind of, like, seeing, like, the more, like, it's kind of like they might have kept a little bit too much from Ixalan in order for Rivals to shine. And I think now we're gonna see that little boost, and
Dinosaurs looks real. Like, I think there's enough cards to build it. I don't know if it's, once it's built, it's good, but I feel like there's definitely a Dinosaur Tribal deck now in Standard. There's 100% a Merfolk deck, which looks really good with counters. And in my opinion, I'd put the Snake in there and make it Sultai. Sultai Merfolk sounds so good. Fatal Push, the Snake, and then some really good efficient Merfolk. I like that. That sounds interesting. Pirates, I don't know. I don't think Pirates is really a deck, but there's a Vampire deck for sure. So, I don't know. Are those good enough to compete with Energy? Maybe. I hope they are, because really, that would... I don't want to see more bans. And, you know, from the what people are talking about, you know, banning, what is it, Aether Hub and whatever the one mana green thing. Frankie, you know what that thing is.
Attune with Aether. Yeah, exactly. Which,
sad day for Magic.
Yeah, it is, right? And that's what I'm like, to ban the land is... I don't agree with that. I think that's just horrid. Okay, Tomb of the Aether, sure, go ahead. But, like, man, I don't know, dude. I would want to see what the set did first. I think we need a very long stretch going forward where we don't ban shit. Like, banning is not the go-to solution now to make it better. And I'll keep calling this out, because when Wizards wanted to move Standard to a faster format or faster rotation schedule and everyone yelled, I think they were right. I think we should have gone with that and just held our breath and allowed it to occur, because it would have solved a lot of these problems. And now, you know,
like me, like for Standard, what I want is options, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's like, I'm talking about options at like each mana cost.
Are you talking about hate? Like, I'm talking about
answers to powerful cards. You know, it's like, when you have a Scarab God in the metagame, it's like everybody needs to have some type of answer to it, you know? And there needs to be, like, efficient answers to these kind of like crazy cards that take over the game. And if you don't have access to those, like, then you kind of, like... You're, like, it's like you're not even going to the tournament, but you're dreading having to face, like, these, like, cards that have no answers, basically, you know?
I mean,
like,
we got cast out. I think there's a lot of answers for the big bombs. I think that there's no answers really for just energy and the efficiency of what it does. I'm really surprised though that
in most sets
they had the hate card in the next set. So to me, where is the card which should be a creature that when it enters the battlefield, you can remove all counters from target player? That's what we needed. Now, I understand that's a powerful card when you get into Infect and you get into older things, but I think they should have had a generic 2-drop when it comes into play, blank someone's counters. That's all we needed. So if they had had like that ability in maybe like 3 colors, we needed that. That's all we needed. To me, I don't know.
Like,
I
just... there's the thing is, like, when I was looking at previous standard, is like there were a lot of gaps in like in the curve for certain colors. So it's like you didn't have any good 2-drop blue creatures, you know, and like things like that. You know, it's like they're like kind of like basic things that you're gonna need.
But I think they're trying to build a puzzle, right? From what I've heard, Morrow says like they're trying to build a puzzle. They can't. What they don't want to do is give you the same tools every time, because then you're just gonna go, great, here's my curve fillers. I think they're trying to give you like purposely not give you
like
everything.
I want more like standard playable cards, sure. Basically. Because
so
like there's a lot
of power level.
Yeah, like. And it like it often doesn't need to be broken cards, you know. It can be a Curd Ape, or it can be like it just needs to compete on the cost power ratio, you know. And
I think they're doing a good job.
Like, there's colors that have no playable 2-drops sometimes, you know. It's like this is like not acceptable, you know. Like color should be competitive, you know. And like there's like room for these cards to be there, you know.
There is. I'll say this though, they definitely are getting one thing right, which is I look at the mythics in Rivals, and they're all casual. Like maybe there's one. Well, the black one, maybe that's like a spike tournament card for Constructed, but like most of them, that's exactly what like we want. You know, give us the rares and the uncommons. Those are the ones that are 4-ofs and Constructed. I like that. Like, I think cost wise, when you look at the secondary market, they're definitely paying attention to where they're slotting those power level cards, which I love. I really didn't like it when they were just making them all mythics. So I think that's great. You know. You and TSG are the limited guys, and like, so I'm not sure. It looks to me like there's all those places look to be filled in standard. I could be wrong, though.
Like, you know, it's like one of the things that's kind of like dangerous for them, and that's been a problem in recent years, was like Planeswalkers. Because, when they...
Like, they're gun shy about Planeswalkers for sure.
The thing is, they made like Gideon was really good. It's one of the best Planeswalker that we've had through standard in like
Liliana and Chandra. They've given us some pretty good power. Come on.
Yeah, they're good. They're good, but it's like not every color can answer them. And then when you get like that's what makes your metagame stale, you know. It's because like there's only so many ways to combat a Chandra, you know, effectively.
Are Planeswalkers even the problem though? I don't think Planeswalkers
they're not currently the problem.
Oh, you're saying in general. Yeah. I agree.
When ever since Planeswalkers were brought into the game, I've said for years, you know, they create this sub game. Like once a Planeswalker mm-hmm. that's impactful to the board comes out, you're no longer playing a game of Magic surrounding attacking players. You're playing this sub game where you have to get the Planeswalker off the table. So I'm happy to say, I mean, look at the Planeswalkers in this set. They're pretty unimpactful.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're
dude.
Also they're gold. They're so the chance of them seeing any tournament play is so low that I would argue these won't make it to standard at all.
You know, here's one thing to think about. Wait, let me jump in, because you both bring up a really good point, right? And we've got energy right now that's an issue, and you say like there needs to be some generic answer. I think maybe you're onto something, right? Like they're starting to reprint generic answers now, I feel a little more. But really, maybe what we need is something that not only removes like target player counters, but it could also do it to a Planeswalker. So that would be a very interesting card. You know, it's just a safety valve card that, like, you know, it comes into play and you can choose. What do you want to do?
Yeah, Vampire X-Mage, right?
Yeah, exactly. But for a player. So that ability, but player and Planeswalker, I think would be a really good card. Maybe it's too powerful, right? Like a 2-drop that can do that and kill your, you know, Nicol Bolas, that doesn't seem fair, so I don't know. Man,
I think we're just living through the phase where you get to see what happens when you add another resource to the game of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Mauro's last podcast about learning lessons from Kaladesh talked about, you know, like answers to things just like poison, where it's just like, well, we wanted to make this inevitable, you know, kind of thing. We don't want to make it another resource for you to manage. It becomes a pain in the ass to manage those resources. You either print extraordinarily narrow cards that are really ultimately unfun, or yeah, you make the power level low enough that you think it won't be impactful.
And it's boring.
I don't know. In the grand scheme of things, energy is not that big of a deal. It's mostly just a wave we have to ride. And once done riding that wave, it goes away. Just like Frankie was saying earlier, it's like Ixalan didn't have any impact on the format because there weren't enough cards, and this happens with Standard all the time, especially when... But you know, before the design teams were more communicative about what they were doing, we always laugh, and it's like, well, when the fall set drops, it impacts Standard very little, because all the new ideas that are being brought to Standard from that set, there aren't enough of them there to make an impact. And more modern sets, they didn't have that because the design teams were close together and they didn't have such inbred mechanics. Yes, does energy have any overlap with fucking pirates and dinosaurs? No, not at all. So you've got to wait for the next wave to come through, and you just kind of you ride that through Standard. And I don't know, if playing as energy all day long is that boring, then the best feedback you can give them is to stop playing tournaments. They'll see in the numbers, wait for the next, you know, rotation to come around and things to change up. I don't think the energy mechanic had anything utterly broken. I mean, the closest thing was the Aetherworks Marvel, but that's more of what that card did, not the fact that it had anything to do with energy.
Yeah, and it also was Emrakul, right? If you were casting
that wasn't an energy card. Again, it was all related to...
That you can just do the most broken thing possible. That was the other problem.
Printed on a card that just happened to be related to energy.
Yeah, I personally really like energy as a mechanic. I've said this from the beginning. I think it's the perfect half mana mechanic. I really like it. I think we just have to be careful to... If they do it again, you got to make that hoser, man. You got to make something that is just the safety valve. Otherwise... You know, like you said, I do not want to play a format where everything is toned down to be safe because it's boring. I want things to feel powerful, but at the same time, Frankie wants answers. I think they need to find that right balance. Hopefully they've got the right people now. I mean, I love that they're hiring the pros. Testing, I love that. I can't wait. I don't know, like, maybe it's the next set or the set after that we're going to start to see the impact of these people and how much more balanced it is. I'm
getting scared because I'm starting to get into the space now where it's like I was excited for Iconic Masters, thinking it was 180 degrees what it would have ended up being, and now I'm feeling that same feeling for this Dominaria return, where I was like, man, I'm gonna get all these great nostalgic callbacks to when I'm a kid. I'm gonna see cards like I used to see when I was a kid. I'm so excited that they're gonna do this again, and I really need to start tempering those expectations again. Well, I can't imagine that's gonna happen.
Let's just talk about that, because that artwork, dude, if they don't... Oh my god, you're scaring me now, because it's true. Iconic Masters was sold as something completely different, and then they just gave us Matter Masters. Like, okay, thanks, guys. But I hope, though, Dominaria to me, like, what is the five things Dominaria needs to do for you to make it successful? This will be a great. Who wants
five
to start?
Things?
Five things.
It's got to be a lot like Time Spiral.
Okay.
But it's got to learn the lessons that Time Spiral didn't learn, because it was the first time they did it.
Okay.
You know, Time Spiral was so great at bringing me back all the feels, but to a detriment to itself, because it made it so incredibly complicated for players that only someone like me could still love it to this day and think it's one of the best draft formats ever. You have to hit the nostalgic callbacks. You gotta talk about some Iron Root tree folks.
But
you gotta talk about
how far do they go with that? That's the thing. Do they go... we've seen them return now to Zendikar and Innistrad. We know, and we've seen them do Return to Ravnica, which
they had to throw a twist. Like, Innistrad was this twist. Sure, like, had to have a mystery twist in it, which kind of made it stupid. It was like, if you just stuck with Gothic Horror and did Gothic Horror Redux, you could have milked that green kitted cow way more times than you ended up doing it. I mean, look at horror film franchises, man. Yeah. They just rehash Dracula over and over and over again to get people to come back, or Freddy Krueger or whatever. Instead, you had to put a spaghetti monster in there and screw it all up.
We agree, and Zendikar just wasn't what Zendikar was. So that they screwed that up. What I'm saying is that we're going back there, And it's been 10, it's been more than 10, it's 12 or
15 years? Been forever. So right off there, there's another one. Don't plot twist it. Don't be like, oh, you think you're going to Dominaria, but really it's been invaded by all these new planeswalkers, and all of a sudden they're bringing in these Kaladesh artifacts to fight against old school goblins. Like,
Let me
get a quick question in. Like, is Dominaria going to be the new core set?
No. The core set, whatever they're calling it now, 2019, is not Dominaria. Dominaria, we are going to the Dominaria plane. So I imagine we're going to get two sets there.
But they're bringing back the core set at one point. When is it coming back?
2019.
I think that's July.
So it's going to be the summer set.
Because Dominaria is May, I believe.
Isn't it the fall set?
I thought Dominaria was the spring set of this year. That's how much we know.
Okay. We're bad at this, folks. But look, the point is no, Dominaria is not. Dominaria is like it's a plane. So it's not the core set. My whole thing is TSG wants Dominaria to be like literally, you know what would make him happy is if they just took a box from back then and put new cards, like old art, everything, just literally that, with all that same power level. But I feel that would be a huge failure to most of the average player base, because they don't know what that is, and they would look at that as blah. You also have to advance the story. This is so good that we talked about Star Wars.
Advancing the story.
No, dude, it is. Don't shit on me. Don't listen to this. I'm glad we talked about Star Wars. Just like the original trilogy, that is original Dominaria, and we're going back. So we're going to get our Last Jedi. This is what's going to happen. So it's either going to be amazing, or it's going to be, you know, Teferi milking a giant fucking Phyrexian and squirting green shit on it. Like, it's going to be like that, because I don't know how you hit all the nostalgic beats and at the same time have the Gatewatch involved. Like, I personally don't want to see the Gatewatch, but Morrow's already confirmed that the Gatewatch is there, or members of are there.
I didn't read that. That makes me sad.
Yeah, I know. It made me sad, too. I said, aw, and everyone's like, come on, man, you got to understand. I have no problem with... I guess I kind of liked how Jace was... I know, shocking. I kind of liked how Jace was in Ixalan. It's just Jace. It's kind of a story. I didn't mind that. I'd prefer it not be Jace, but whatever. When the whole team is there and it's like they're dominating the storyline, I am sick of that. Do not do that. I personally don't want to see any of the Gatewatch.
You don't like the little planeswalker soap opera?
I just think it's overwhelming the plane you're going to. I think it should be a subset.
I like reading articles that explain how Chandra can be moody in the morning while she's having her coffee.
I don't know if you're serious or not, but I'm going to just take that at face value.
No, I'm not serious,
okay. Because I don't know. I thought you did like that. You're trolling me. I'm just saying this. Like, the Teferi, Jorah, Karn... all look amazing. I just want to see that. I think that you can do that in a way that works. The story is completely unknown to me. I have no idea where they're going to go with it. But just like Star Wars, right? We had an expectation when Luke comes back to be Luke. And he's a whiny fucking guy that milks space cows. This is not what we wanted. So I hope they go back and those characters are what you want, right? Like, they can be they can be a different take, I don't know.
We've had this conversation before, where one of the things that made Magic so much fun when I was a kid was that you made up your own stories. Like, they gave you the fantasy elements, and then you made a theme deck. You made stuff happen with your characters, your cards, your tribes, you know, your fantasy elements, and that was what's fun about it. I felt like over the years when... they kind of like drenched us in story that it became frustrating. It became stupid. It became like, I no longer have creative freedom as a casual player to make my own decisions.
Well, it's called EDH. You just can't do it in standard no more, man. You got to follow the story, right?
Yeah, but the ED, I don't know, like
cube, the cube can be your own world, man. You just have to, you're unhappy because you don't like the fact that now not only are you force fed the story, but you're force fed everything. The plane, like for the next 3 months, here's the set. This is the world. And they do box you in, but also I kind of want a bit of that. Like, I'm here for the entertainment value. Entertain me. Tell me a cool story about these creatures and characters. Like, this is what I want to know. And at the same time, give me some powerful cards that, you know, we can use. I have no problem with that. For me, the five things that this set needs to do for it to be a home, for actually not even to be a home run, it needs to do five things to not be a failure. That's the weight it's carrying. One, it's got to have the evolution of those characters. Everybody knows this storyline and this plane. You can't go back and pull a freaking, write these characters badly. Like, they need to write the characters well. They need to have a cohesive story that leads us somewhere. My imagine is Phyrexia. Seems fine to me. We can do that. Two, we gotta have some power. People are expecting the power level of this set to be crazy. Right?
I don't know why.
Just because it's Dominaria. It's like going back to Ravnica, right? When you went back to Ravnica, like, Shocklands, we got the charms, like, it felt really good. It felt powerful, right? I think that people want to see something. It can't be boring mechanics. Also, I'm not sure if we get Slivers or not. I don't know. That's a coin flip, man.
Yeah, Do you go back to the new version of Slivers?
Well, there's the whole Vorthos methodology there. Like, is it old Slivers? Is it new Slivers? Is it hybrid Slivers? Who knows? I think you got to be careful with that.
I'd say keep Slivers out of there, man.
I would too, but there's part of them that people want that back. The big thing
fuck those people, man.
Just fuck those people.
Or that, I guess.
The number one thing they have to do is, in my opinion, if you go back, you must have an old border in some way. I don't mean the whole set. That's fine. New borders, but maybe there's a... And I don't want just masterpieces in old borders, although that would be amazing and what I want. But it would be really nice to have maybe a cycle of artifacts, maybe it's ancient, right? So ancient artifacts or ancient creatures or something. And all those cards are in old border frames. I think that's how you get your nostalgia. I think that's how you can show that a huge amount of time has passed. I think that's a great way to tell a story. And it's just a very, very powerful way to show that we're back to somewhere that has history. If they overgloss the history and they just like, hey, new set, everything is just happens to be a Dominaria, that's a huge failure. So like we went back to Zendikar, the Return to Zendikar had nothing that was familiar. And it was just a giant space battle of aliens. And that wasn't what we expected. So, to me, I think there has got to be something there. My big thing is the Phyrexian reveal. That'll be your big twist. We got you. You know, we're going to see
that. How unexciting is Rivals of Ixalan if here we are just talking about the set that comes out in 5 months?
The storyline for Rivals of Ixalan is boring. That's true. It is. And the fact that they just had Jace.
I haven't been following much of it. And because everything went down in 1 week, I just kind of started looking at it at the very end.
You don't follow any of that shit, though. This is not
It's
your
just
jam.
Funny. Like, I saw like someone like retweeted like Morrow's response where someone was like, why are all of the...
Yeah, the pirates women.
Why are all the pirates women? And it's like, God. Dude, who gives a that? Shit?
Look, okay, go on, Frank.
The Rivals thing is that, like they discover an ancient city.
Yeah, it's called Zendikar. This set feels like, to me, they're running out of ideas, and they're taking half-finished ideas and smashing them together. Part of this entire Ixalan set feels like it should have been Zendikar, Return to Zendikar 3. To me, I'm just saying.
But, like... And it's kind of like it's tied to the ascend mechanic, which is the city's blessing, you know?
Okay.
Interesting. The big thing, though, is they retcon Jace.
I kind of like what they did there, you know? It's like they have this mechanic that represents kind of like what happens with like within the story of the set.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I like what they've done. For me, Dominaria... It's like what I'm looking for is the throwback to this old flavor, old cast of characters, and if somehow they could make it, like tie it with the mechanics a little bit and give us like something interesting.
Well, here's the thing, TSG, because I don't even remember TSG. What are the mechanics? Like, is there anything interesting that we can go back to? Or is it all
in Dominaria?
Yeah. Besides, well, I mean, like,
a lot of early sets took place there. So, like, everything up through Urza?
Oh, really?
Okay. Past that. So... No, everything over to Apocalypse? No, wait, no. All the way Odyssey, Invasion. Yeah, like, most of Magic till Mirrodin was on the singular plane. Apocalypse was supposed to, like, blow it up. So you've got a ton of stuff you could technically call back to. Okay. I don't know if you're going to or if you need to, but there is plenty of space to play with there. Again, that's what Time Spiral was in so many ways. If you go back and look at the Time Spiral spoiler, and you can see all these hidden gems across all of Magic at the time, which of course now is a million years ago.
But like, what? Give me something, because like, what is, if you said
what is
like,
a good, you just want a good mechanic to bring back? Is
well, okay. So, well, here's the thing, right? When let's say they say we're going back to Zendikar. I'm like, I want to see landfall and I want to see traps. Like, those are just bing, bing. Those are as soon as it pops in my head, that's what I want to see. If we're going back to Innistrad, I want to see flip cards and I want to see things that talk about the graveyard or dying. You know, so there. If I go back to Ravnica, what do I want to see? I want to see guild synergy. So, like, what if you went back, like, I don't really remember a lot of that, so for me, I can't even think of a mechanic. So to me, they could do anything, and I'd be happy. But I'm thinking
that's a big part of it. It isn't about bringing back that stuff which you already know. It's about using the characters and the fantasy elements that drew people like me to Magic initially, bring those back and play with them. You know, give me nods to the old stuff, but at the same time, make it new. Like any good movie sequel is supposed to do. Take the elements that brought me in the first time. Take the elves, the goblins, the orcs, the trolls, the dragons, the villagers, the merfolk, the true wizards of the mind, and then put them in a new setting and do new stuff with them. So you don't need to have recall back mechanics. You can. I mean, if Richard Garfield was involved with it, he would do some really crazy callbacks, I'm sure, because he loves to make overly complicated cards, and he loves to make cards that call back to other cards. And if Mero was involved, he'd make cards that were double or triple older versions of cards.
Yeah.
Like super cursed scroll. Like,
oh, yeah. All he does is
mana and eight mega to activate, and you reveal two cards at random. And if you name both the ones that were named, you deal 12 damage. And if you reveal one card that was named, you deal 3 damage. You know, stuff like that could be fun. It would be callbacks. But to me, using the characters, because it's funny, you dance around all these other things you want to see. To me, it's like the elements, the art, the things that drew me in as a kid, and then all the other stuff is ancillary. I mean, yes, the mechanics of the game working properly help a lot too, the base 20 system, but just give me those. Like, I don't really need to go full Time Spiral. Like, if you go to Time Spiral, part of the issue with it is they use every mechanic they had before, and it's all over the place. It's a hot mess. Clearly, don't do that. You could pick and choose if you really, really want. I mean, you could bring back the greatest hits. You could bring back all the stuff that works perfectly from older sets. I mean, obviously, cycling is like one of the best mechanics ever. Unfortunately, landfall is one of the best mechanics ever. But like, you know, things that are basic to making the game function well for all players, smoothing out draws, making things relevant, having niche strategies, all those kind of things. You know, like just hit me with all that great stuff. And again, I'm hyping myself up to the point where it's not going to work again.
you're going to let yourself down, dude. You know.
Exactly. So I'm trying not to think about it. I'm not looking at artwork now being like, oh man, I can't wait to see the new Teferi Planeswalker that's like super old returning to the old land.
See, I want that. See, that's exactly what I want. We are totally two halves of a coin there's no middle ground between us. Like, either one of us is going to be happy, the other one will be sad.
I don't care. Like, again, with your whole Gatewatch shit, I was like, I never looked at any of that garbage. Yeah. The only thing that I ever saw was like, oh, well, this tells me what Planeswalkers will be in the set. That's cool. Let's move on.
You're so cold. You're so bitter and cold with the fucking story. It's disgusting. Here's the one thing, though, that we should talk about. Do you think, because the land cycle they give us there, probably going to be really important, right? With Magic, the way it's been going, kind of like we think we're still losing or whatever, right? There's definitely some kind of downturn or stagnation going on.
Another Maddie classic coming. Hit me with it.
Fetch lands.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to go there.
I know,
man. I thought you didn't want more reprints, Maddie, man.
Dude, no. Look, so many people do not understand my point about reprints. I'm going to say this one last fucking time, and then no more people listen. I am all for value. This is what I want. I've been fighting the day one for value. I want people to have value. I have no problem with Wizards taking some of my value to do something that's good for the game. But I'm not going to give my value up just for stockholder points. End of story. I do like reprints. I think they are needed. Do I think that we need more reprints to just destroy people's collections so that Hasbro can get a check? No, I disagree. Now, back to Dominaria. What are we doing with the land cycle here? Because this is pretty big to me. Rivals. Well,
you're not even going to go for the gold here, Matty. You're not even going to be like, how do I get some kind of dual land? What do I have to do? Who do I have
to circle? I don't personally believe that that's possible anymore. I mean, if they did that, holy balls. Like, if they would go there, if they would finally do it, I don't think they have the balls to do it. Maybe they do. Maybe they are like, fuck it, we want to print gold. Maybe they do. I'm
not saying you're going to get actual dual lands. I'm saying what kind of new variation. Dual land variant would be acceptable to you in this era.
Ooh, wow. That's a good one. Okay, so here's the thing.
Because they're going to dance with the devil. They're obviously going to try to be like, oh, look, man, we gave you the closest thing we can.
I don't think you can do snow, because that's weak. I definitely think you could do... Oh, well, you know what? Isn't that fascinating? They did give us Blood Sun, and now we're going to Dominaria. That's interesting. So what could they use? What could they give us that then made that... Oh, man, maybe they would give us, like, a freaking... a lightning bolt land. Maybe they give us a dual land that's a lightning bolt, but maybe you can play Budland. I don't know. It just, to me, what I want is just print the fucking dual land. That's what I would want, but whatever.
We're all realistic that that's not going to happen.
So I know.
The hardest thing to think of is how do you, and again, you know, you got to give some props to these guys that have to make these decisions. You go back to the land that had the original tropical island on it. Well, we can't give them the actual one. What can we give them?
Well, they have to make you pay another resource, right? So I think they've given it, what, shock lands? Can you do one damage? Or is that just way too good? Could they give us a shock land that just pinged you?
You're not thinking broad enough.
Like, I know, I'm starting here. Because I'm trying to frame power level. Is that still too powerful? I think it is. Right? What if it had no subtypes? Then now we're talking.
Didn't have the land types? That's another question. Like, are we at a critical mass of quote-unquote dual lands at this stage that we don't need to have more lands that can be fetchable that are, you know, land requirement? Would that almost be a bonus? Would a land that just enters the battlefield untapped and was just taps for red or blue and that's it, would that be okay?
That sounds like a pretty good land. I mean, we have all those lands now, but they all have stipulations, right? Fast lands can only be the first three turns. What if you just printed a neutral land? It's just nothing.
You just shit on the old apocalypse pain lands or whatever. Like,
well, that's why I mentioned the you know, pain lands make the most sense to come back. I just feel that's the most boring. But whatever.
I don't know if they would go there, but like just like a dual land that doesn't have the land type. Like, that's powerful.
It's just simple. It's easy to use. It's players very would get simple. The thing is, I'm always looking at the game.
I think they're kind of scared of it because it's kind of like strictly better than a basic, you know, in some ways.
Well, isn't every dual land better than a basic? Except for Basic Island? Haha. No.
Well, seriously. The thing is, like, there's like with the land types, you have synergies, right? With the land types.
Okay.
So it's like you wouldn't have those land types synergies, but you'd have your fixing, you know. They wouldn't be fetchable, so it's like.
It comes down to if you believe that lands instead.
I guess they make. Like, they'd make the fast lands that are, like, or all the other standard lands, it would make them look bad, kind of, you know? Because they'd have their drawback, but those wouldn't have it. You know?
I think at some point, if you're going to take the power level up, right? Like, what do we have now? We've got fetch lands, well, dual lands at the top, fetch lands below that, rav lands, fast lands, kind of like that's the range we're working in. Are we slotting that right below fetch lands? Like...
I think there's like good designs that they've made, but they haven't completed the cycle. So it might be a chance for them to complete the cycle.
How about this, guys? Like, I've always hold on, Frankie. I've always wanted this, and this makes so much sense coming off of Rivals. Tribal dual lands. So it's just a straight up dual land. If you have like, if I'm playing a vampire, and I have a vampire in play, straight up dual land. If you don't,
like, I think it doesn't, like, the problem there, I think, is like, it's a good idea, but I think it doesn't fit within the Dominaria flavor. Because, like, you'd want
to support tribal, isn't it?
Like the tribal. Like the thing is, like, it's kind of like too much tribal in one, like, yeah. Like you have your Ixalan that have their tribes, and then like Dominaria would, like, the tribe separation is like different, you know, in Dominaria. So it, like, I guess Dominaria would be more of the classic tribes with like goblins and
all right. So TSG is going to tell me if this is broken or not. Straight up dual land if you discard a card.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Right? Straight up. You don't discard a card, it enters tapped. Now, huge broken mechanic with, like, dredge and other reanimator strategies. So I don't know. Maybe you have to exile your graveyard first and then discard. I don't know how you make that, like, not totally broken, because I would just, like, slot those in. But
Me kind of, like, the cycles I'm looking at is...
Exile the card, then. Instead of discard, exile.
No.
Yeah, obviously exile.
Yeah.
Like, me, the cycle that I like, it's a cycle I like a lot. It was the Battle for Zendikar lands that cared about having two basics, you know?
See, I thought those were very, very hard to understand. The fast lands, to me, are just more intuitive.
Yeah, the fast lands are obviously good, but, like...
Or what, Tango lands,
Czech,
I think people were
the
calling.
The Czech land, I, like, we don't have the enemy colors for Czech land. Like, this is a land that I'd like to have at some point, you know?
That's very low on my... that's not a cycle I give two
shits
about.
And, like, the other
about,
one
but...
is the Grove of the Burnwillows cycle that could be completed.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, maybe that would be interesting. We could have a cycle of dual lands, but they each have a different effect. Then at least that'll let you tweak the ability to match where it could be set. Could be interesting. I don't know.
Well, hopefully somebody in R&D has already had these discussions. Because
obviously, I just feel
like it's
pretty
important, and it seems like it's pretty tough at the same time.
I also feel like if you put fetch lands in it, it's just gonna sell, right? Like, I don't know, guys. Like, to me, it feels like they need that, right? They need to put something in there. Maybe they're just done with it.
To me, it doesn't, like, the Dominaria isn't about fetch lands at all.
Yeah, I know, but either was commons. They just threw it in there. Like, I feel like. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe they've permanently moved fetch lands to master sets, and they're just going to keep them in every time, which I actually think is a great idea. It just keeps value in the master sets. It reprints the cards, but it doesn't decimate the value. I think that's fine. But if you're not reprinting fetch lands in standard anymore, because your eventual hope is you're going to have a frontier format that's fetchless at some point, which I agree. I think that's a great idea. You got to have something, man. So it's going to be old frame masterpieces, right? Like, this set cannot just be nothing. It has to be... The hook is going to be a crazy dual land cycle and old frame masterpieces, or one of them. It's not going to just be Dominaria, yay. Right? And he's just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
I'm not scared about that, you know?
All right. Well... We're going to wrap the show up then, because we are over our hour mark. But on the last note, gentlemen, big thing for 2018. Here we go. One thing you want to see this year do for Magic. Only one. For me, there. I don't really care so much about the sets we go and where we go. I need Wizards to seriously look at the growth of the player base. That's the only thing I care about this year. I think real focus, I just want them to admit that where we are is not where we should be, and something. And I believe it should be returning value to the consumer. So I don't know, man. Give us some crazy F&M promos. I think we need some real good value given to the players to get them to want to come to tournaments and play standard and formats.
I like that request. That would be high on my list.
Yeah. Of like, that's even above like master frames or full art lands. Like, to me, you've given us a lot of those things, but really I want them to take the paper game. That's really like, they're very focused on arena right now, which is fine. That's the long-term plan. I agree with it, but I really want them to give us some value back. You know, you've had your experiments, you threw a million products at us and, you know, we choked. And then, you know, you squeezed our tits out of for the green shit and you drank it. Like, that was gross and we didn't like that. You know, now it's like, okay, you stole all the value too. Really give us something, man. I'm hoping that, like, there's, like, especially for guys like Frankie who care about Planeswalker points, I would love to see them be like, hey, we're mailing cards out again. Imagine that. Hey, you hit a certain threshold on your Planeswalker points. Here's some cards. Oh, man, I think we need to get back to that. Just my two cents.
Like me, what I think will be a big thing this year, and what I'm excited about is the team aspect. You know, like they're doing the team PT. There's a lot of team GPs. There's a lot of team events that are going to be happening. So it's like that part has me hyped. Like team play is like amazing. It's really like making friends and like playing Magic with your friends is really what the game is all about. So like I'm excited for that part. I think that like last year they kind of like set a precedent for like how much product they were gonna throw at us.
Yes.
And I think like there it's kind of like the 25th anniversary, I think we can expect at least as much product as we got last year. Two master sets for sure this year again.
Well, we don't know for sure. No,
we don't know for sure, but
we know
like,
one. We get Masters 25. That's all we know at this point. The logic says Eternal Masters 2 at the end of the year, but I don't know. Do you even want that? I don't even know if anyone wants that.
The thing is, like me, I don't really care that much, you know?
Exactly.
But, like, I think that's what they're going to do because they want, like, I don't know, like, they want to have this, like, this big year again. So I think they're going to print a lot of cards. And I think, like, after this kind of, like, two-year period, I think that's when they're going to kind of, like, review the numbers and see... Oh, well, what did it do for the game? Did it work? Did it not work? It's like they're kind of like in the... They're making like a big push, you know, because it's the 25th year, you know? And they've started last year. They're following this year. I think after that two-year period, I think they're going to reevaluate, you know, like, did this work or did this not work, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm kind of like expecting kind of like more the same from last year. But like we're gonna see at the end of it, where like everybody will be able to kind of like make their own evaluation, it's gonna be interesting to find out, you know.
I'll say the number one thing.
But like I think at the core, like Magic is still like a great game.
No one is saying it isn't. That's the thing. Yeah. It is. Magic's a fine game. Magic is the best game. It's gonna be very difficult to kill because it's just so good. The thing is, it could be better.
Like the thing is, like me, like if I look at my own like player journey, you know, and like this, like last year for me was it was a very different year than from previous year, and it's like I've changed a lot of the ways in which I was engaging with the game. So it's like lately I haven't been playing as much standard as I did before. I've been involved into the old school community that started in Montreal. The face-to-face have a kind of sealed league that they're doing. I've been getting involved in that. So it's like, and like I went to my first, like last year I went to my first GP where I didn't play the main event and I only played side event.
Oh, thank God. You're finally awoken.
But, like, it's, like, I'm still kind of, like, interested in, like, I'm interested in like the main event to some point now, but I'm open more to side events as well right now. So it's like I'm kind of like I'm picking and choosing. You know, like the menu is huge, man. So it's like. Yeah. You don't need to have you're like describing a Big Mac trio like every meal, you know.
True, but you know what's sad is you're describing a retreat from the format that they need to make money in. This is the thing that like I've noticed. The retreat from standard, the least value oriented format. It's just very, very evident that many people are retreating to formats that have value. I'm just saying, man, people are the average player is smart enough now. When you get in the game, you see how much value is bled from you. You move to where the value is. It's not rocket science. It's just Wizards need to wake up and they need to do something about it. But the number one thing I wanted to close.
Hold on. Like the way I feel a little bit about standard is that it's had its up and down last year. But like right now, it's in a better spot starting this year than when it was starting last year, you know? So it's like we're at a better stage now than we were last year.
I would argue that we are not, but
no, we are. We definitely are, because like the stupid Etherworks Marvel and like the Infinite Saheeli combo, like that was kind of like the big thing at the beginning of last year. And like that was like it was a horrible thing for Standard. Like that's for sure. Right.
Yeah, and I will agree. And the bans kind of,
but like right
it.
Now, like right now, the big bad guys is like energy. Like, but energy, it's like it's a Jundish deck. You know, yeah, it's really good at what it does, but it's a beatable deck. You know.
Oh, and I'm like, not saying it's the power level
friends,
that's the problem.
My friends came up with like a new rogue deck, like last week, and they played the last. Like my friend played it in the last PTQ of the season. And he won the thing, you know. So
right.
So it's Rumors like there's still room for improvement. But as bad as you like hate energy as a deck, it's still a fair deck.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the games that you're gonna play, the red versus energy matchup is like super skill intensive. So it's like. Yeah, like that might be the best deck, the clear best deck of the format, but there's a lot of play to it. There's a lot of counterplay to it.
Yeah, it's not boring, one-sided smashing.
It's interesting games. So it's like in that respect, I'm kind of like hopeful for the future standard.
All right, well, there's been another amazing episode of Hype Pump, folks. No, you know what I did? I did want to close on one thing that was very interesting. The Great Designer Search is back.
Oh, yeah.
That is something that it's got me very, very interested that if you look back at like why the Great Designer Search was put in place, it's usually at a time of growth. And so I wonder, I'm hoping that they're not doing this just so they can crank out more sets or more cards. I hope that's not the reason they're doing this, that they're doing it because they anticipate a curve of growth coming. Or maybe they just had too many people leave and they got to fill spots. But this thing of all, I'm actually very excited for that when it comes back. So hopefully they do it with, more video, less articles. I don't know. I want to see it presented in a very, very, very exciting way because...
The last time it came around, what was exciting about it was you got to kind of delve into kind of what makes sets and what's involved in all that stuff. But you get to do it for yourself. You didn't need a lot of pomp and circumstance around it.
True. Well, give me an app. The number one thing I want out of everything that I've ever wanted in Magic is an app. And all the app is it makes Magic cards. Now, I get it. I understand how bad that is. But hear me out, okay? If it's just an app on my iPad or my iPhone and it brings up a card frame, I choose the color I want, it puts some generic art in it, and I can type a name, a thing, and I can then say, TSG, check out this card I made for Cube. We can't print it. You can't do anything with it. It's just cards. And then
remember when Magic the Gathering had an app? Those were weird times.
I'm just saying, something like that would be so cool. I don't know. I say, hey, make a community.
It's a piece of trash, but man, oh man, I remember that.
All right, everybody, we will catch you on the next one. somewhere, sometime.
This is why you don't do outros.
No, dude, I used to be really good at them, but now I'm just total fucking garbage. You know what I need right now? I'm going to stare at the sun. I'm going to stare at the suns, the twin suns, just... I'm going to the forest. I'm going to go hang out with Yoda. Fucking laugh at a tree.
Do you do a song outro on these things? And...
Well, I do, but now you've said that, so I can't do that because, you know, that would be hipsterish.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally going to... They're totally going to overlay a sound in there. It could be fucking awesome, man.
Like, you have, like, you're going to have to top leaving on a jet plane.
Oh, I can't top that shit. That was the best ever outro. It was perfect. Or even the Small World outro where we did the midget one and then I had the Huey Lewis's Small World. No one saw it coming until it was like, it's small, small world. Those are hard, though. I got to be honest. Heavy metal is my, he generates content for outros during
the
show.
He's your muse.
Yeah, he's the muse, man. He is my muse and I am the Kevin Smith. That's literally what it is. Except he swear. Well, actually, he is Muse then. He's pretty much Muse. Yeah.
It was great to hear from him and Gumby in that Christmas show, man. It was great. It was a throwback for sure.
Hopefully we can do. I mean, hey, I'm not promising shit, but I would love to do those every month, every couple months. Try and find a way to get the boys back, so to speak.
We'll let
it's
the
not
fans,
impossible.
You know, like,
it's just difficult.
It, you know?
You said it, TSG. It's like making Dominaria. We're going to go there, but it might be garbage. you don't know. I don't know if it's going to be shit or not. Like, it's actually, we could go there. It's just, will Karn and Jorah and Tafari even be there? Or I'll just be surrounded by a bunch of Phyrexians wanting to, you know, milk my tits or something. That's what the fuck we're doing. Anyways. We're done.
We're just hoping one of the key characters won't die in the opening scene, you know?
Oh, please. All right, guys. All right, gentlemen, all right. That was a good one. Thanks
Shout
for coming
out,
on, man.
To the HMSVU people out there, man.
Yes. The SVU, the Special Vehicle Unit. All right, TFG, thanks for coming on, man. Frankie, as always.
If you're smart. La, 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 la.